Raymond and Clogher. Go ahead.
The DUP don't need to come on your programme, haven't they got a resident spokesperson on there at the minute anyway?
Well, we, to be fair to Nelson, we did invite him on.
It was just interesting to hear Nelson McCausland saying there that, oh, they should set up the assembly without Sinn Féin. Remember, people need to remember that the DUP were the party not so long ago who were on their, not only on their manifesto, but on their posters, were advertising smash Sinn Féin. I believe that the DUP have no vested interest in going back.
Well, just to announce your vested interest, you're a former Sinn Féin councillor, is that right?
I'm a former Sinn Féin.
Okay, well, let Nelson, you'll want to respond to what Raymond has said there.
Can I finish my statement?
Yes, go ahead, Raymond.
Just the DUP have no interest whatsoever in going back into Stormont because they are now in Westminster, and you can see they're puffing their chests out now and making statements. Arlene Foster will come on today and she'll say how much she wants to go back into Stormont, and yet we all know that she doesn't want to go in there because they've got leverage on the British government. We hear about the cuts that's coming to health and education. They're right in our face. Nelson McCausland saying, "Oh, we've and other spokespeople there saying
how much, Raymond?"
They're saying, "Just let me make my point."
I know, but your point. I want to just come back at something you said there in terms of the leverage that they have, that the DUP have.
The point is that these people are coming on and making these statements. They're making these wide sweeping statements. Oh, because we don't have an assembly up and running. That we're not. The DUP have got the ball at their own toe. They're keeping the Tory government in
power. All right, Raymond.
And the Tory government are the ones who are implementing
Okay, well, what about this £1 billion that they've got for us? What kind of leverage do they have? Let me finish my point, please, Raymond. Do you perceive them to have, given the fact that we haven't seen a penny of that?
Where is it?
Well, that's my point. You say that the DUP have leverage now because of their deal with the Tories, but where is the money? Where is that leverage you talk of?
Exactly. The leverage is that they are actually in power with the, they are sitting in power with the Tory government. They are keeping the Tory government in power. But £1 billion.
A billion, yes.
It doesn't make a blind bit of difference because we're still getting them cuts in health and education. We have got a Labour government in waiting with a manifesto which is going to invest.
Okay, let me get Nelson then to respond to you.
In health and education. Why are the DUP and the public...
Nelson, if you can get a word in, go ahead.
Why are the DUP supporting a government that are implementing these cuts when there is an alternative?
Nelson.
Thank you. It was a very brave attempt by the gentleman from, I think it's Clogher somewhere, to divert attention from the core issues. The position of the Unionist parties is very consistent, and that is that they are pro-devolution parties. They believe that devolution within the United Kingdom and under the authority of Westminster is the best position for Northern Ireland. And it's a good thing that decisions, wherever possible, are taken by local ministers who have a much better understanding of local needs and so on and are resident in the area and are very accessible. So there's a general acceptance, not just by politicians, but I think by people, by business and so on, by trade unions, by the voluntary sector and so on. Everyone is saying that devolution is a good thing. The one party that is blocking it, Sinn Féin. And that's the core issue that needs to be tackled.
Okay. Well, we have got a statement from Sinn Féin. They say Sinn Féin MLAs continue to provide first-class constituency services around a wide range of issues and continue to work hard with voluntary, statutory and other providers on behalf of their constituents. Sinn Féin will continue to work towards the re-establishment of the political institutions based on the implementation of previous agreements and a rights-based society. Briefly, Nelson, going back to that issue of the...
Can I pick up that last statement there?
Yes.
A rights-based society. The proposal from the DUP was that instead of giving preferential treatment to one cultural tradition in Northern Ireland, that you look at a culture act that would look at cultural traditions across the board and that the rights of everybody in terms of cultural traditions should be reflected and considered. And that's the way to deal with it in an inclusive way.
Of course, it's not just the Irish language. Of course, we've mentioned it already, equality, Bill of Rights, legacy issues. So there's a lot kind of in that. I know the Irish language has had a lot of prominence.
It was the thing yesterday, I think, that obviously in the circumstances, Gerry Adams was picking up.
Just because we're pushed for time, Nelson, going back very briefly to that £1 billion that has been promised, how long will the DUP continue to prop up the Tory government without that money actually arriving here?
Well, you're making a lot of assumptions. First of all, you're assuming that the money will not arrive sooner than later. We just don't know.
But that's my point. We don't know. It hasn't arrived yet. So is there a deadline, do you believe?
And therefore, that's a question we'd be better putting to Arlene Foster or to one of the...
But obviously, Nelson, you're a DUP MLA.
I have no inside knowledge as to the discussions and the details.
You don't talk to any of your DUP mates? They've not given you any indication?
I do talk to them about many things, but that's not something I've talked to them about.
Well, if it was, say for example, if you were still an MLA and it was something that you were directly involved in, how long would you give them?
Well, first of all, I think that the presumption must be that having entered into an agreement, that the Conservative government will honour that agreement, and that since the money was not tied to a requirement for devolution, that money should be put into the system in Northern Ireland.
So how long would you give them?
I know the gentleman, the former Sinn Féin member from up the country there, was quite disparaging and dismissive about the £1 billion.
You're not really answering the question, to be fair, Nelson. If it was if you were told, Nelson, you're a member of the DUP, you are still an MLA... It's a fair question.
But it's a hypothetical question.
Of course it's hypothetical, but you understand, though, why people, when they heard there was £1 billion coming towards them, and we hear all these stories about education and health in particular, they're thinking, give us this money, we're desperate for it. So how long do we wait?
People want to be very clear about it. Get Sinn Féin back in business, get them working, get them into it.
Nelson, come on.
Let me say to you, Winnie, come on. The truth of the matter is that the DUP did an excellent job for Northern Ireland. And when there were vox pops carried out by the BBC across Northern Ireland in unionist and nationalist areas, virtually everybody who was spoken to and interviewed from either community was quite positive.
I understand, but obviously that's just half a job, Nelson. And this is not something I'm saying is necessarily the DUP's fault. I'm just saying, given the benefit to the Tory government that the DUP have provided, how long do they continue to do that without this money coming that they went into this deal for?
The core issue for me is that I have every confidence in the ability of the folk at Westminster, the MPs who attend Westminster, as opposed to the party that doesn't bother attending.
You mean your own MPs?
My MP in the constituency I live in and the constituency I represented is indeed a member of the Democratic Unionist Party, absolutely.
Yes,
right.
No, but sorry, what I meant was the DUP MPs, but that's obviously not totally up to them when this money arrives. Would you give them a month?
I think that Kerry have already been told that there is a sort of hiatus now over the next number of weeks because you have issues around Parliament coming back next week, then it rises for a period of time and so on. So I'm not in the business of setting down deadlines and timelines for that. I think we'll see enough of what deadlines are like in terms of the other.
Exactly, which is why there'll be people listening this morning going, well, look, for goodness sake, give us some kind of indication. And I understand you're not an MLA anymore, Nelson, but you are a man that is very experienced in this. You were with the DUP for a long time.
My personal view is I'm very confident that the resources, the additional resources that were negotiated for Northern Ireland will come to Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And that they will come through the Conservative government, whether it be through the restoration of devolution or through direct rule.
So maybe next year, maybe the year after, who knows?
Well, do you know?
No, I have no idea.
Well, then there's no point in asking me about it.
I know, but you might be a bit more experienced in this than me, Nelson. I've never been a politician.
I know, Vinny. You know, the truth of the matter is, the focus this morning should be on devolution being restored. The focus should be on the intransigence of Sinn Féin. The focus should be on the demand of Sinn Féin for cultural preferential treatment. Let's keep the focus where it belongs, not on what is currently a side issue.
Okay. Nelson, in terms of a side issue, I think people would question whether £1 billion in this mega deal.
Well, but that's the secondary issue because the primary issue is to get devolution restored.
But it's not dependent on that. As far as I've heard so far this morning, it wasn't a line that was set out that it's not dependent on the executive being back up and running. Or direct rule. That was not worked
absolutely
into this deal.
Absolutely. And that's been made very clear
by
the DUP who negotiated.
But you can't give me any indication or even tell me if it was a decision up to you before you would go back to them and say, where is this money? How long you would wait? Because we have seen this year in particular, in terms of deadlines, when a deadline is just not a deadline and things shift and move, and the public get very frustrated because they want to see some kind of decision made. We see this money waved in front of our faces, and yet we have no idea when it will come.
I want to see local devolution, where not only are we talking about the £1 billion that was negotiated for North Ireland, but the entire budget decisions being made by locally elected politicians. I also want to see a situation where we do not see the closure of constituency offices across Northern Ireland, because that's the one aspect of all of this. If devolution goes, constituency offices go, the service to constituent goes, and I think most people will recognise that there is a tremendous amount of work done by MLAs in their constituencies and by the people who are employed in those offices. Those offices close down, that service is lost. I think many people will see the impact of that, okay, particularly in some of our more disadvantaged and deprived communities.
Okay, Nelson McCausland, thank you very much. As I said, we did ask the five main parties to come on. Stephen Farry is from the Alliance Party and he joins me now. Good morning, Stephen. What do you think of what you've heard so far, and how long will you continue to take your salary before you decide that enough is enough?
Yeah, well, I just caught the tail end of things there, but we're in clearly a very frustrating situation. And, I mean, just on the salary issue that you raised, I mean, we've said over the past number of months that, I mean, we know that this is an untenable situation for MLAs to be being paid while that we're not in a situation where we're doing the full job that we're left to do. I mean, that is something that something we'll have to give in the near future.
I know, but see, it's that phrase again, Stephen, in the near future. Like, what does that actually mean? That could be later today. It could be in 5 years' time.
Well, I think that this is tied up in the context where, I mean, people are reluctant to give up on the hope that we can have a restoration of the institutions.
It's not looking good at the minute.
It's not looking good. And in that particular respect, I mean, what I would say is, I mean, we're hearing from both the DUP and Sinn Féin over the past number of days that they are committed to an executive, but they're talking past each other. They're not understanding each other's fundamental concerns. And indeed, some of us would actually argue that both of them are playing a very cynical game in terms of not actually really making the moves that are necessary to see that re-establishment of the institutions. I mean, there's two things maybe I could suggest that would actually help the situation. That one thing the DUP could say, and this builds on some of the things that Nelson has been saying, or maybe contrasts with some of the things that Nelson has been saying, I think if the DUP came out and said, we want to see restoration of the institutions, but we also, we fully appreciate, leaving aside the details around how we handle Irish language, we fully recognise that there has been a deficit over the past number of years in terms of equality and human rights issues. There has been problems in terms of respect. There has been problems in terms of inclusion. And we recognise that we have to address that in terms of any future executive. And in turn, I think if Sinn Féin came out and said, we want to see a restoration of devolution, legally, we are very clear that we want Northern Ireland to work. People have this suspicion that there's a chaos agenda from Sinn Féin, which is about trying to undermine Northern Ireland, seeing Brexit as an opportunity. They're not serious about the institutions. If they said they are serious about Northern Ireland and making Northern Ireland work, notwithstanding their wider constitutional objective, that would also help the situation.
Where does the Alliance Party stand in terms of pay? Have you talked about what you would do, what stance you would take, say, for example, for another 2 months down the line and we are still in a similar situation as we are now? Will you continue to take nearly 50 grand a year?
We have certainly talked about it in terms of the Assembly group, and I think all of the MLAs are realistic about that situation. And we haven't talked about whether we're making proposals or setting any timescales around all of that, but we do know that people out there are suffering, and in particular, as we see the cuts unfolding, there are people who are losing their jobs, and it is an untenable situation to see MLAs carrying on getting paid for jobs they're not fully doing, while others are losing their jobs as a consequence.
Yeah, so what are you going to do?
Of political deadlock. What we're doing is trying to ensure that we have a breakthrough in terms of these talks. I mean, for example, Paula Bradshaw is trying to talk to the parties around some sort of constructive way forward or compromise around the issues.
Okay, so let's put aside let's put aside any suggestion that there's any doubt in that. But how long do we let that run on until there is an actual result, or someone decides enough is enough, it's not going to happen?
Well, I think it's important that we don't maybe see the issue of pay as a standalone issue, and I appreciate people's frustrations in that regard, but it is tied up to what is going to happen with the institutions. And clearly, I mean, we've had several deadlines that have been missed and essentially ignored. We have crisis in terms of our budget. Somebody sometime has to make a call. Is this going to work, or are we looking in terms of some sort of plan B, whether that's some form of direct rule with some sort of Irish dimension to it, or something else? Now, I fully believe in devolution. Devolution is by far the best thing for Northern Ireland.
But to be totally fair, Stephen, you're not really answering the question. I'll go to the SDLP statement. They say no one should be paid for a job they're not doing. SDLP MLAs are still out in their constituencies representing and working for our constituents, but we recognise that no MLA is fulfilling their legislative or committee scrutiny role. The SDLP is committed to restoring power sharing and getting on with the job of resourcing our health service, our schools and other public services in urgent need. That is a priority in the days and weeks ahead. But as they've highlighted at the beginning and the middle of their statement, the MLAs are not doing their full job. They are getting paid to do a part of a job. So 50 grand, we heard a caller earlier say, let's pay them for the bit they are doing. Is that something, for example, that the Alliance Party would consider?
Yeah, I think that may well be a situation that we come to in the very near future. What I'm saying is you can't entirely decouple the issue of pay as a standalone issue from what happens to the wider institutions. We're in a situation today where if you listen and take literally what people are saying around their commitment to the executive, we could see a restoration within a matter of weeks. If you dig down and analyse more deeply the different approaches that they're taking and the intransigence around key issues, then you're more sceptical about that restoration. What I'm saying is if we are in a situation where it is clear and evident and people are prepared to call it that we're not going to have a restoration of the institutions in the near future, then there will be consequences for MLAs. And I think what the SDLP has said and what I'm saying today are fully recognising that reality.
I want to run something past you, Stephen, before I let you go. Some of the latest health figures, the waiting list numbers are out this morning. So at June 30th, a total of 264,451 patients were waiting for a first consultant-led outpatient appointment. Now, that year-on-year is up from 225,000. So a 17% year-on-year increase, just under 40,000 people more. So when we're talking about, I know it's been suggested this is a bit of a side issue in terms of pay, let's not prioritise, but if you're one of those people, one of the 264,000 people, you're not going to take any consolation in that. You're going to think, for goodness sake, get in, do your jobs, or get out. But why are we giving you pay for something you're not doing?
And I mean, on that specifics, I mean, the situation in health is untenable, unsustainable. It is deteriorating year on year, and obviously we're faced with a situation where trusts are being asked to plan for £70 million of cuts, that is going to have further consequences in terms of winning this, because a lot of what they're trying to do is actually to shift the pressure into next year, push the pressure further down the pipe. We've had report after report. We now have Bengoa. That is the established way forward. We need to get on and make sure that's properly implemented, to make sure our health service is properly effective and sustainable. But instead, we are year after year having a financial crisis where the health service cannot balance the books on the money that's
provided. Well, an extra 40,000 people nearly waiting now for their first appointment. Yes. Stephen, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much for coming on this morning. We do appreciate it. It's good when you get a statement, but when you get an actual person on the radio, you can actually ask them questions as well. Jude Collins is still with us. Jude, sorry to keep you waiting so long, but what do you think of what you've heard in the last 20 minutes or so?
It's a bit depressing, tell you the truth, Vinny. I mean, if Nelson, I think, was to reflect, did his performance this morning add to the possibility of Sinn Féin going back into government with the DUP, or lessen the possibility? I think the answer is pretty obvious. You see, much talk has been given this morning to the Irish Language Act, and Nelson's objection to it was it would give a sort of cultural superiority to Irish. But we have got a Scottish Language Act. We have got a Welsh Language Act. Does that put the people who don't speak Welsh in Wales or the people who don't speak Scots Gaelic in Scotland at a disadvantage? I don't think so. The other thing is this. If you, as I said at the beginning, if you do cut the pay of MLAs, for that there will be a political price. You may have a financial saving, but there will be a political price.
What price?
What would you do if your pay was cut in half or removed completely?
To be totally honest,
the first thing you do is you look for another job.
If I wasn't doing the full job, for example, if I wasn't coming in here on a Monday night, I would expect to have my pay cut. I wouldn't expect it to continue with no end date. I just wasn't doing it.
Yes. Well, as I say, I can see the argument for saying, yes, let's bring these people to their senses. But I'm telling you, I firmly believe that the price you will pay is that many people of real talent in all parties will begin to look around for other avenues to make a livelihood.
So what do we do then, Jude?
Families have wives and families, and they need to support them.
Because I understand what you're saying 100%. I guess the issue for many people, Jude, will be the lack of a deadline. We have no idea. Most of us have no idea how this will play out, when it will actually come to some kind of resolution or an action will be taken. So how do you get around that?
Well, I can't really give you an answer to that, Vinny, but I can give you my belief that it's better, you know the way they talk about it better have no agreement than a bad agreement for the Brexit? Well, I think you could have a situation where you could have the executive up and running and it would be worse than not having it up and running. And that would be if Sinn Féin went back into the executive, into the assembly and continued the same old. Because their constituency told them, don't keep doing that.
Jude Collins, thank you very much. We'll go back to the phones now before we head to the news at 10. Grace in the Braniel. Go ahead, Grace.
Hi. Well, I'm just listening to all the conversations there. And you know what? You just get fed up with the same old story. As you say, you've tried to put it to them about their wages, and not one of them is willing to say they're going to give up their wages, and they should do, because there's nowhere else in this world you'd be get paid for a job you're not doing.
But what do you say, Grace, that, you know, as we've heard in some of the statements this morning and the commentators, whereas they're not doing their full job because of the current limbo, they are still doing their constituency work, they are there if you need your MLA for whatever, you can contact them. So is it fair to say, well, chop their pay off even though they are still doing something to earn it?
But what do we know what they're doing? Do you know what I mean? What power do they have if they're not in government? What power do they have to push anything?
That's a good question. Rob, where are you this morning? Sorry, it's Rowley. Hello, Rowley. Rowley McIntyre.
That's me. I'm from Fermanagh here.
Oh, yep. Hello, Rowley. Sorry I called you Rob by mistake.
No, I've been called worse.
That's a nice name, Rowley. Is that short for something? Roland.
No. That's it.
Okay, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, having sitting and listened to this morning, I get disgusted and I suppose very disappointed that we still hear this rhetoric coming on about religion and what side you're from and what side you're not from, and there's always a blame.
So what do you think, Rowley, in terms of a deadline or the actual pay? Would you stop it? Would you reduce it? What would you do?
I certainly would not pay people for not doing a job.
And would you stop it? Would you stop it now, Rowley, or would you give them a deadline?
I would give them a deadline, and I would be very forceful from the English point of view. One of your speakers there said about a price to pay for taking wages off them. What price are the people paying that are not getting the medication that they need?
Okay, I'm going to move on, Rowley. It's just because I'm trying to. There's some people waiting quite a while before we get to the news. Brian and Lambay, go ahead, Brian.
Hi, Vinny. I'm sick of hearing this guff and see this idea that, the MLAs are doing their constituency work. What constituency work justifies an MLA? If you have a problem and you need to go to an MLA for the constituency work to help you, what did we do before 1998? We went to the MP's office. We have 18 MPs still in Northern Ireland. They all do constituency work. Go to them. We don't need the MLAs.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much. Ashley, you've got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say regarding the MLAs, I was with my friend last night who's a unionist MLA for 4 hours, and he sat on his phone texting, ringing, emailing, everything, doing constituency work, and he does that 7 days a week.
Well, there you go. So, that's it. That's the other side of it, Ashley. We'll have to leave it at that for now.